good. There we go. Just to piggyback off of what I just preached about with the children, for those of us in the room that have loved ones, children, grandchildren, that are no longer in the church, there's a promise, and I want to preach a sermon on it, hopefully in the next several months, in Joel, where God says, I will restore and rebuild for the years the locusts have eaten. And that promise as a parent, one person said amen, that promise as a parent or a grandparent is God's able to restore broken and lost years. He can make those up. And so as we continue to pray for our loved ones that are no longer walking with God, with Jesus, I have confidence that he can restore those years. Because he's that kind of God. And so I just want to encourage you with that this morning. We are continuing on with our series, Mosaic. Actually, we are finishing our series, Mosaic. And I just wanted to give you a little sneak peek of what's going to happen for our next series. Our next series, we're going to go into the epistle of 1 John. And or is that in the New Testament or Old Testament? I'm just making sure you're with me this morning. Erica said, you know, are they alive? Yes, they are. Okay. But should or should not a Christian's life be the proof of their connection to God? Yes? Are we sure about that? Should your life be the proof of your connection to God? Yes, absolutely. And that's what we're going to look at in John, because John is addressing the Christian church, and there's all these things he's addressing in there that talk about, well, how can we prove our connection to God through our lives? And that's what we're going to be talking about for about 7 weeks is what I have planned right now, pinned down, to go through the epistle of 1 John. So I hope you come out. I hope you bring a friend. And church next week is going to start at what time? 11. They're good, Oscar. We got it. Okay, 11 o'clock. And the time between 10:35 and 11 is what? Community and refreshments. So what does that mean? Bring a friend. Bring a neighbor. Bring a pickleball partner, right? Invite some people to church. Have them have some refreshments and have them come on in and enjoy the worship service with all of us. So we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to start with a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads. God, I just thank you so much that your presence is here, as Don talked about earlier, and we've invited you into our hearts and into our minds because we do want to reflect our relationship with you to others. Why? Because you are love and you are amazing. And we realize today as we celebrate communion, the sacrifice that Jesus made for each one of us. What a sacrifice that was. What a sacrifice that is and is still today. Father, may we contemplate, may we think about just what that means for us individually and what that means for us as a church today. And as we look at the Gospel of John as a whole, I just pray that you work in a mighty way through my words and through this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, thank you, Aurora. We started with Matthew, and Matthew, as I have in my notes here, presents Christ as the true and rightful King and Messiah. And every person needs to consider, is Jesus the King of your life? Ask the person next to you, is Jesus the King of your life? Just ask him. Go ahead. Ask him right there. Ask Melly right there. Ask him. Is Jesus the King of your life? Now, we're going to go on to Mark. And in Mark, if you weren't here, Mark emphasized the actions of Christ. Mark was very quick, right? And Mark emphasized Jesus being a servant to others. And the question is, if Christ, who's the King, served others, so should we, right? So should we. And then last week in Luke, Luke demonstrates Christ as an all-inclusive Messiah. The gospel doesn't have any boundaries. Amen? Christ was willing to reach all. So if Christ was willing to reach anyone with a need, we should be too. Right? And now we get to John. Oh, John. I think I've preached the most out of John in my 10 years as a pastor. But John is pretty amazing. Well, what is that on the screen there? Can somebody help me out this morning? Fabric. Fabric, right? And what is that? Quilt. Brad, could you do that right there? Probably not, as Mom says, I think is right, right? Probably not, Brad Behrens, probably not. Okay, what is that right there? Flower, all right? And what is that? Okay, Greg, could you do that? Don't lie to me now. He couldn't do it looking quite that good, okay? Okay, what is that? A little harder here. Metal, right? It's cold rolled steel, they call it. It's got a lot of carbon in it. And what is that? Who could do that in here? Yeah, I could do that, yeah. But I can. But I made that. What are you talking about? No, I didn't. But it's a knife. Now, when you see all these things, the thing that strikes me is I'm constantly in awe of the transformational process that took place. From the raw fabric to the flower to the raw steel to the beautiful things that were created, I'm continually in awe of it. And that's how I kind of want to describe the Gospel of John. Because John shows us a picture of Jesus where he comes in and he makes these transformational things in people's lives, and people are in awe of it. Now in the Gospel of John, it is part of the Gospels, but it doesn't really quite relate very well, because we have what's called the Synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they're all very similar. When you read them, there's a lot of similarities. But John, in fact, is, I think it's 90, let me just double check on this, 92% different than all the other Gospels. There's only 8% of John that has the same content as the other Gospels. So then the big question is, well, what's in John? What am I missing from the other Gospels that's in John? Because John has a lot of stuff. Now, John is very, what's the word I'm looking for, Oscar? Dreamy, he uses these examples, like in John 1, the word, illustrations, thank you. John uses a lot of illustrations that the other gospel writers don't really use that quite often. So John uses these concepts, these illustrations that draw an image of Jesus and his mission. So if you're an artist, if you're somebody who's a very visual person, an animated person, you'll probably enjoy the Gospel of John because of that. So, the Gospel of John is reflective as well, and it's also very deep theologically. 60 years had passed since the events had taken place of Jesus, and the other Gospels were already in circulation, so many, many people in the time of Jesus were familiar with the gospel story. So John's gospel was not made to produce a biography of Jesus. It was made to start to lay out and describe the foundational principles of heaven. Amen? And so one of the depictions that John gives of Christ is someone who is the giver of life. And that's what I... maybe... John, can you go to the next slide? John describes Jesus as... next slide, sorry. There we go. John 14:6. Let's read it together. Jesus answered. There we go. So here, John draws this beautiful truth that Jesus is one of the ways to heaven. Wait, George corrected me. Jesus is the only way, right? And this is Jesus' own words. He says, I am, and in the Greek, I am is very, very strong, meaning I am the only one. There's nobody else. Who's the way? I am the only one who is the truth, and I am the only one who can give life. No one comes to the Father except through me. These are strong, strong words that Jesus makes. And when we take a minute to reflect on those and realize that Jesus is our passageway, our ticket, if you will, to the Father. You cannot know the Father but by Christ. Yeah. So if Christ, who is God, is qualified to redeem a fallen humanity, and if sin is a human problem because humans caused it, thus humans need to rectify their condition, right? There's a problem, though. Humans are not qualified to rectify their sinful condition because sin can only be paid for by a perfect, sinless person. How about God? Well, God isn't qualified either because God is not human. But remember, it's a human problem. And so what's the solution? The solution is that God sends a God-man, Jesus, down to earth, who is not only qualified, but demonstrated it over and over again, and willingly died to save humankind from their sinful condition. Jesus was literally our only option. And to think that God planned this out years before, tells me a lot about who God is and how much God loves us. John says over and over and over again throughout his gospel that Jesus is the giver of life. Jesus is the giver of life. You know, a neat detail about our life is that God has set our lives up to where we are constantly experiencing new beginnings. In fact, every day is a new beginning with possibilities never ending. I don't know who that's from, Dr. Rhonda Miller. But every day is time for new beginnings, right? It isn't yesterday, it's not tomorrow. Every hour, something new awaits us, right? Are you excited about that or not really? Yes. Every year we celebrate this thing called a new year, or we reflect on last year, sometimes, most of us, and we look at what we've done in the past and what's going to happen hopefully in the future, and we reflect and contemplate and dream and plan. We also have seasons, right? And we can tell the new season has started in the fall by what? How can you tell that fall has started? You don't know? Okay. The sun shines more. The weather changes. What happens to the leaves? Some of the leaves fall. Here in California, it's not that many. But in Tennessee, it's like everywhere, right? I lived in Tennessee. It's beautiful. But the seasons change. And it lets us know that it's a new time. So here's the thing. Jesus offers us what? Based on my PowerPoint there. A different life. See how boring it is? Maybe you like the green grass. You could golf out there, I guess. Maybe if you like golfing. But look what's through the door. Endless, endless, endless eternity. And that's something that Jesus offers us. And entering into a new family can be tough, but a new family in Christ should be one of the most joyous and biggest blessings in Christianity. Amen. John repeatedly urges Christians to love one another. Turn to the person next to you and tell them you love them. Oh man, not everybody's done it. Come on. The Bible says that we should love one another. Turn to the person next to you and say, I love you. as a brother or sister, okay? Tom, I love you in the back there. No, but seriously, that's something to get us smiling, laughing. I see some couples laughing here. Yeah, okay. But now that I have your attention, Jesus has called us as a church to do just that, not just in our words, but in our actions. That's how God and that's how the world knows that we're followers of this God of the universe, by how we love each other. I mean, this church is easy because everybody in here is perfect. And I just love everybody, right? Well, you know, I'll tell the story I told in Sabbath school this morning. I was in Joshua, Texas, pastoring my first church as a student pastor, which means I was getting paid not even my gas money, okay? I wasn't getting paid anything, okay, to do this. And I was in school. And I preached a sermon on John about how we're to love one another, and that's how we prove to the world that we're his disciples, if we love each other. And I preached this sermon at this church with about 300 people in Joshua, Texas. And I remember it was about a week later, this little old lady came up to me. She was in her late 80s, and she sat down in my closet, because that's what they gave me, a closet, not a desk, not an office. And she sat down in my glorified office, and she said, "Pastor, I've been going here for almost 50 years, and what you said is biblical. I understand it, but there's no way I'm going to do it, because there are people in here that I cannot love." I thought, oh boy, did she not hear what I said on Saturday? So I opened the Bible up, and I explained to her what I said in my sermon. We read the verse again, and I said, "You don't have to love them." She says, "But I thought you said I did." I said, "No. You see, Jesus looks down on every church and every community of every group of people, and he loves them I can't even begin to fathom how much he loves each one of us. And it's that love of Christ that we can partake of, that we can have in here, that we can bring out and show and demonstrate to other people. So it's not about what we can do, right? It's about what we can allow Christ to do through us. Amen? And so as we look at John, and as we look at these concepts about Christians loving one another, being an example to people, we realize that Jesus has a lot for us to do, a lot of people for us to touch, encourage, give hope to. And Jesus offers new life to anyone and everyone, not just to certain people, not just ones that are, you know, on this side of the fence, but to everyone. You know, as we look at and contemplate the cross today, we have this before us. And this bread and this wine and this time where we can break off and go partake of the act of service. I put it in the bulletin as the act of service. Because we serve a mighty God. And he came, as I'm gonna call Case out a little bit here. Case Ketting in Sabbath school this morning in the library, he said, you know, Jesus did come to serve, but that wasn't his overall goal. He just didn't go around serving everybody. He served people, but the ultimate goal in mind that he had was what? No? The cross. Salvation. Our salvation was at stake. Yes, he wanted to show the power of God. He wanted to demonstrate how God could bless people and how the Spirit could move in our lives. But ultimately, Jesus wanted to lay down his life so he could pick us up. And so with that in mind, you know, Jesus did go to the cross. And with that in mind, Jesus did come out from where? From the grave. And so we can be thankful today that we serve a mighty God who's done just that. So at Arroyo Grande Church, if you're new with us or visiting, we have open communion, which means everybody's invited to partake of the bread and the wine once we come back in the room. Right now, the children are going to come forward in just a moment. There's going to be a children's story. And in the room, through the door to my left, your right, there are several other rooms. There's one for men, one for women, one for families. And in those rooms, you'll find basins and water and towels. And in those rooms, people are going to go over there. They're going to pray. They're going to wash each other's feet. And we do this not because we need our feet cleaned. Okay, I'm sure we've all taken showers today. We do this to demonstrate and remember that Jesus humbled himself and he served. And what did I say earlier? You turned to your neighbor and you said, I love them. This is one way that we demonstrate through this act that we truly love each person in here. And so at this point, I'm gonna have a prayer, and then I'm going to excuse you. If you want to partake of the foot washing, you can. If you would not, if you don't want to, that's okay too. You can stay in here and listen to the children's story. And we'll be back in probably about 10, 12 minutes. And then we'll come up and partake of the bread and the wine and remember that. So let us pray. Jesus, we're encouraged this morning because you as the life giver had in mind to put yourself out there, to come down here and take on humanity and give your life up so that we could be with you. Father, we think of your act of service at that table where those men were surrounding you and how you put on the robe of a servant and you serve them and you love them. The greatest act and demonstration that we have of that, of you being a servant. Father, you've called us to be just like you. And we want to be, Father. So help us overcome selfishness and pride and anything else that hinders us. And help us to put on humility in a servant's heart. Father, as we break for this time of service, I pray that you will just you'll soak on the hearts as we meditate on you. And Father, as we come back in to celebrate your life, your death, and your resurrection, Father, I pray that you would just work in each of our lives in a mighty way. Reveal to each of us your love, your compassion for us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.